episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good afternoon, good day, good night, whatever. Welcome to wherever you are on Bongversation episode 21 on the 5th of January 2025. Yep. So it's well, it's my date anyway. I think Dave's probably getting very close to that.
It's the 4th for me, yeah.
Fourth for you, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, it's wonderful to be back. We had a week of not doing a show. Was it 2 weeks? I can't remember. Might have been 2 weeks. Since we've done the last show, but welcome to this very interesting conversation. Dave's already kind of preempted and told me a few things he wants to talk about, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to this conversation. So sit back and have a listen to the wonderful Dave J. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Excellent.
So last time we talked about the old, they were wheeling that old Pope around in his Pope Mo cart. Yeah, did you see him? He was getting wheeled up to the little gate in his little wheelchair. Yeah, so they're going to wheel him out for the last time here on January 5th, which is your day. So later today, 7. And that typo is going to love that. But at 7 o'clock local time at Rome.
Is that really?
7. Absolutely. Of course it is. Every one of them was open up at 7 local time. Correct. Yeah. Mm. So the last one's at St. Paul outside the wall. Now, the idea of outside the wall is the idea of being outside the norm, let's say, on the spiritual aspect. So if you're dealing with those that are running the world, and most men and women interact in the world where we're shopping at the same stores and the same corporations and the same so-called world government, and the same so-called world wars are reported across the same called newspapers. So that's the type of world I'm talking about. So it's that shared idea. So when people when people share an idea, that it's a festival of dedication, much like Hanukkah with the Jews, which they just finished up on the 2nd. And what makes that important is that there was a dedication festival what God or what power they are dedicating this world to. And the world is the idea of men. So all of these different stories that are put into the public eye, what power is that being then dedicated to? And, of course, that is the prince of the air, or Satan. So then, as you know from when I first told you about this, the centroid of those five portals is the Temple of Saturn, which is the idea of Temple of Satan. So you have this, if you go back to John, let's say if you go back to John 10, now if you go back to John 10 and you go to verse 22, which is the idea of the door, I remember 2 + 2 = 4. Yep. So then came the festival of dedication, which is Hanukkah at Jerusalem, and it is winter. And Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. So he's strutting around. And the Jews, those guys, who are gathered around saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." That's what they're asking him, right? So he says, yep. Jesus answers, he says, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And here's the important part. I and my Father are one, meaning that he is God. So he just proclaimed himself God to these people. Now, guess what happened? Yep. They didn't like that. They got mad. They picked up stones. All right. So that's the idea of the 10 or the input. That's the story. It's this God or that or the other God, the God of Mammon, which these were actually trying to support. So then if you go to the stories of the latest, you know, few weeks, not only the portal stories, but also the stories that in the United States are, I'm quite sure you're in your media as well, is the New Orleans story. And the story of the Trump, you know, Tesla box truck explosion. So I think it's important if we to go to there first. If you want to talk about that, I'd like to talk about how just if you look at, for example, the New Orleans hoax. That's the idea of the 42-year-old street. Yeah, just there's just a street, and then this guy's going to ram people, and then the videos they put out are full of stars and just obviously, you know, play acting by the police. So then you already know it's an actual hoax. But then within the hoax itself, if you look at the names, the name of the character who was supposed to have been the one driving the truck. What was the? You said it was a tornado, Rick.
Lightning.
So yeah, of course, lightning. That's the idea of Barack, right? So then Barack.
Of course, yeah.
So lightning, yep. 150. So then if you have, now his name was Shamsuddin Jabbar. Sham. So the first four letters is S-H-A-M, Sham. So it's a sham. Sudden is the next. Yeah, and the next six letters is sudden, S-U-D-D-I-N, like an early idea of sudden, like suddenly. Sham, suddenly, the idea of Jabbar. Jabbar is one of the 99 names of Allah, right?
Yep.
Now, Jabbar is the idea of someone who compels or is irresistible. So you can look at it one way or the other way, meaning compels means you're pushed, you know, by force that you cannot fight, so you're pushed or you're compelled to do it, or that same power, if it's something that you desire, appears to you as being irresistible, because that's another name of this same character, is irresistible, yeah. But also a compeller. So you have this idea of push-pull. Also, Rick, if you take a look at this idea just as demons, D-A-E-M-O-N, the idea of executing files, ideas in someone's head, these are little files being put into your head so that if down the road when another story happens, in your head you'll execute, these little demons will execute and say, remember the truck in New Orleans? Remember the truck?
Yes.
Remember that, and it'll all start. Yep. It'll be this go.
So
no,
basically, your knowledge of computer creation. They're called demons, literally, aren't they?
Yeah, literally. And what they literally, they're called demons. D-A-E-M-O-N-S. If you look at what their job is they go out and they fork orphan files. Fork like with a pitchfork.
the devil running around with a pitchfork. Yeah,
yeah, and that's the actual terminology. That's the actual words used.
Fascinating. It fascinates me.
Yeah, yeah. So then, also very interesting. I sent you the song I wanted to play at the end, which is the Queensrÿche song. Now, if you look, Hampson is also an anagram within that guy's name. That's the hot southern wind. That's the idea of a season change. Now that's going to be interesting when we start to talk about the fog idea that's happening, or and the idea of mist. But just keep in mind the hot southern wind, the idea of seasons changing, the idea of also within his name is the idea of HASSIUM, which is a heavy metal with a, or a theoretical metal with a number of 108. The idea of nine, of course, added up. The nine is of course the idol that we, that the nine's going to keep showing up as well, you know, within these idol numbers, as well as the, you know, the seven. If you're looking at how it's being brought to mind, it's the seven when it's the idea just presented on the shelf in one's mind. They're all nines. It looks like all nines up on your trophy case, and just, they're just bell ringers. And as you say, oh, I remember, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, and then all of that gets preloaded like into your RAM, and then you start spitting it out of your mouth. Yeah, that's the idea of just so all the, you have to make sure that, that what's in your temple is the idea of truth, not fiction. That's why all these different signs, you know, stories are, and, are to be tested. And when they all connect to each other, at some point when the head's rotten, the rest is rotten. You can't be caught. You can't be the one who says, "Oh, I know that one. That one. That one's a hoax." Therefore, those other three aren't. By what rationale is that? I mean, that makes no sense. It's illogical. It's a strange idea, which is interesting. It's a dark idea, meaning that it's like the idea of the Bourbon Street, which the is the street that it's on. It's a famous street, but how? But the idea of bourbon is a liquor or a spirit which is aged in dark oak, right? Oaks are, oaks quite interesting, because in the Bible oaks are described as oaks of righteousness, but also in the material or in the spirit world, the idea of Celtic gods like Dagda, for example, with the Celtic god, he's associated with the oak. The Norse god Thor, like the idea of Thor's hammer, he's associated with the oak, all right? Because the in Wicca, the oak is associated with their idea of the tree of life. Now, that is because it's also burned as what's called the Yule log during Christmas as the preferred, although you can use, you know, ash, birch, pine, different woods. But the oak Yule log is for, let's say, Wicca purposes and things, people who burn the log for purpose, not just to kind of have the ambience, but they're doing it for a reason. They're gonna burn oak. All right. So, because the idea of the Yule log itself, goes into the idea of the hurricane, or because it equals 97, and you know it's English, Yule. Yeah. So in, if you just break it down in simple English gematria, it's 97, which is the idea of 16 or seven. What's his name's going to love that? He loves when I mention the seven code. Typo, but
there's a few people that have a sip of a drink every time you say seven.
that ties in with the hurricane, tsunami, and the Poseidon idea. So do you see how each tentacle goes out just like a fishing net, but it all winds up touching the same thing? It all comes back to the same spot. So as far, so you can waste your, and in fact sometimes, and I heard, I won't mention the one, but I'll just say I was listening to an audio chat, and where whenever the truth of Satan has to be put onto the table, the pagan, the Antichrist, the Wicca character will defer or pretend not to know the connection. Let's say if you say, "Hey, what does it mean about this oak or whatever?" And if they have to bring the Satan character in, they're going to defer. They're going to claim they don't know. They're, because they can't give you some other character's name to kind of just, you know, skip rocks down the road. Oh, that he ties in with Poseidon, which ties in with tsunami. Oh, okay, thanks, guy. And you're like, wait a minute, that didn't answer my question. Because if all of these then tie into the Satan character, or the Prince of the Air, or what power is coming up with all these ridiculous stories? Because all these connections, and the fact that in a video camera, when the police run off, that there's a guy walking by with a star on his sweatshirt, which has one eye darkened, Yeah. All this stuff I put up on the Discord. The reason I put it up is because it's everything that's given to you for consumption is also there to be, is also to be wise as the serpent. You can decode it quite simply, but you have to be able, and you have to not dismiss that there is an actual code that you can count. That's one right. to nine. If you can count one to nine, you can figure it out. All right.
Yep.
Here's the one thing you can't figure out, and this is where all these witches and demons and warlocks come in, is you can figure out what I told you about the number code. You can get all that, but without the mind of Christ, it's still going to be looking through the dark, the fog darkly. It's still going to look hazy. You can almost get there. And that's why, like, stories and movies, let's say, like The Fog, for example. The idea of
John Carpenter.
Serpent, yeah, John Carpenter. Yeah. The idea of Serpent in the Rainbow. The idea of Altered States. All these different movies, they'll show you this idea, but they get to the veil. They get to You can tell the writer knows something. They went on a trip and they saw something. But what they saw and what they got to was the deception or the sexual veil. And you'll notice that all those movies center around, at the end, the sexual experience being the end-all and be-all. The reason that is because that's the veil that you have to deny that room. Remember, we talked about that a few shows ago. That's that room that's presented. Remember when we talked about Logan's Run? The last room he goes out of is that temptation.
The orgy scene. The nude scene, yeah.
Yeah. That's the last temptation. You got to get through that. And that's the same thing when you go on a trip. It's the idea of the veil. It's the idea of the curtain. It's what's been torn. Unless you can get past that, that's why all these different movies, you can tell that those people, they know something, but they didn't go all the way. Otherwise, they'd be professing the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't gotten
there. Well, it's interesting. It's right. Well, it's interesting that you bring up the fog, which ties in obviously with the next operation. We had drones last year towards the end, and now we've got the fog, which is causing mass panic amongst the blind and the sheep out there. What do you think about why would they have used this? Is this part of this veil?
The veil, a mist or a fog, is a veil. Yeah. And then if you look at the idea of mist, even if remember we talked about the legend of Sleepy Hollow, and if you go to, it's at the very beginning of the story, and it's just part of it. It goes, and they're con over old Mather's dreadful tales. This is when he was like talking about, you know, scary tales. He's reading these books by the creek until the gathering dusk of the evening made the printed page a mere mist before his eyes. So the mist is the idea of going into an altered state, the idea of almost like self hypnosis in a way. So and that's also the idea of deprivation. Or the idea of depriving oneself from a truth. So let's say if you say something doesn't exist, you convince yourself something doesn't exist. You can never then use that to test as a counterweight on a thought or an idea that's been put into your head, right?
Would you say that this whole mess fog story is a collective hypnosis through the media as a hypnotic type of trick to introduce this whole meme of the mist coming into the collective psyche of all the people listening to the media and believing everything? Is it part of an alchemical operation?
Sure. Well, you know, if you take the Book of Enoch, and I'm talking the one that would be called First Enoch, and you go to chapter 5, if you went to verse 8, it would say, and the vision was shown to me thus, behold, in the vision clouds invited me, and a mist summoned me.
Yes.
So
it says
the mist summoned me. That means that the mist has power. And if you also take a look at the seventh time that mist is used in First Enoch. It's at towards the end, and it says, "And he will summon to testify against you every cloud and mist and dew." That means that the mist is acting as a witness.
Right.
All right. Now then, if you because a mist or fog, I'm going to put the two together, because the idea of mist shows up in the biblical script. Fog does not, but mist also is talked about what waters the ground in Genesis. So it's the idea of fog, and also within, just so I can clarify this, within the Book of Enoch, mist is considered its own creation, its own power. It's not a it's not a cloud that's come down to the ground. It is its own thing,
as opposed to the Ten Commandments, where the cloud surrounds the mountain.
Right. Yeah. That's its own. Its own creation. Its own power. Okay. Its own gate. So then the fog. Now the fog movie, the John Carpenter. Remember, we talked about John Carpenter a few episodes ago. Yeah. Yep. Now this one would have been the 1980 one, which is one that most people would know. Now, remember, that had Hal Holbrook in it playing the old drunk reverend.
Yes.
Ties back to Capricorn 1, if you remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like how these, it's just, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But if you look at what's interesting, and just to kind of share simple detail across all these different stories and movies, if you remember, there's a scene where they bring back one of the first sailors that the fog encounters, and he's at the morgue, and he winds up with Jamie Lee Curtis. For some reason, is facing the wall. No, you're not facing the body just brought in. She's facing the wall, and the thing finally creeps up, and it falls to the ground behind her. She's like, her. And when the body drops, it scrawls into the ground a 3. 3. 3G7. Remember, I told you a 3 is G is 7. The reason that I say that the 7 is the G, or it's the same, is because you're dealing with the Phoenicians and what became, or those, or what are the Revelation Jews. They are known as the Phoenicians. They're known as merchants. They're known as Jews, all this. So then they have an alphabet, and the third place in their alphabet is what looks like to you a 7. All right, that is why in the Freemason art, the G is hanging in the center, because it's the 7, it's the 3, it's the G. The 3 is the idea of the fallen ring. 1, 2, 3. If you add 3, 4, 5, 6 backwards, that's where your 36 comes from. All right.
Okay.
So, and then guess what? When it rings back another time, 369, 369, 369, 369. And that's where the 10 comes in, where you come in, you and I come in each day. Yep. Is there's these 369s bouncing all around. And if you decide to take the time, which is not retrievable, you pick one of those up, and then you have to spend time with it until you release it. Those are ideas, these stories that are put out. Because what happens if somebody believes this story about this ridiculous Tesla blowing up in front of Trump and Trump's tower in Vegas? What if they take that bet? Remember that it's on the finger, the pointing finger? You're going to take that bet, huh, sport? Well, you take that bet, and you're going to spend the next 2 weeks wasting your time worrying about something that didn't actually exist or matter. It might as well have been a movie being filmed.
Yeah.
You know, but you can take that time, those 2 weeks, but you're not going to get it back, and you're not a hero for doing it. And actually, if you put out 10 videos, they're all garbage. You know, it's like, and in fact, go put them on a VHS tape for me and throw them in the garbage. You know, just do that for me. Oh, and then
telling it like it is.
Yeah,
that's the advice from Dave Joseph.
and also remember, we're talking about the Hindu idea and the rising Indian, because remember the Tesla guy who's getting burned right now because he was complaining, or he was trying to say the H1B visas were this good thing. That's all inside baseball. It doesn't matter. It's just this kind of just to get people fighting about who's a proper immigrant, who's not. But it's the idea of the Indian. And let's just call that the Hindu. We talked about that on really since the first show. But within his name, and this is the driver's name in the Sham Sutton in at the New Orleans, which was outside. It just so happened to be outside the Mango Bar, Margarita Bar. And I had just mentioned to Frank in chat in the Discord before this happened. I had told him that I was putting some of his sea salt flakes on a mango, his smoked sea salt flakes on a mango.
Oh, man, you got something fantastic.
And I actually put a picture of it up on Discord before this event happened. And the event, once I saw the picture, I said, wait a minute, that's outside of the Mango Margarita Bar. And what do you put on margaritas but salt?
Salt?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, so there's your coinky dink, huh?
So that is the synchronicity. So,
yeah.
Synchronicity, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we kind of announced it, pre-announced it. So in Hindu, you have this idea of Shiddha. So S-I-D-D-H-A. Yeah, that's how you say it. S-I-D-D-H-A. Yeah, that's
Shiddha.
Right. Shiddha. So yeah. So in Hindu, and that's someone who has reached. Remember, all of this stuff is talking about someone who's going to be coming into vogue. And what I'm saying is by Easter. Because that's where the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 days of the
which end today,
which end today, all of that ties into it's a flip flop of the cross and the rising, which happens of course in the spring. So between now and then, all of the different stories that come out between now and then are going to use the same tone and tenor. They're all going to be pointing towards the rising of this one world order or one world beast idea.
You're suggesting by this Easter we'll see something.
I would say that the Trump because the Trump character is the 777 character. That's just way it is. Yeah, everything wraps around that. So what? Just keep an eye on that character for a declaration or a speech made, something in the spring where he basically puts himself on the level of God. And
it will not surprise anyone. It certainly won't surprise me if he does.
Yeah, so the Siddha, S-A-D-D-H-A, is in the Hindu, like we're talking about, the rise. Remember, it's the servant becoming the master idea. It's someone who's achieved a high level. And it's also in Jainism, but it's also a high degree of physical spirit or physical ability, but also in the spiritual ability of the able to balance the two, meaning to suppress the physical needs of man. He would be one who of course is all business. That's all biblical as well. He doesn't have a need for women, blah blah blah, you know. So you have this stable man character who's presented, one who is an oak, all right, the idea of the bourbon, all right. So then and also, if you notice that they have the anti-white type of language, the neo-Nazi type stuff, that is because the preferred type of oak to use for bourbon is called charred white oak.
Right.
So it's quite specific.
Right? It's very alchemical all of this, isn't it?
Because, and that's the whole idea. It's like you can have a Yule log with oak, ash, birch, and pine. However, if you're doing it for purpose, and this goes into the idea of witchcraft, it goes into the idea of summoning, it also goes into the idea of Lesser Key of Solomon, you're going to use oak. That's because it's the idea of, in the Bible, in Isaiah 61:3, the oaks of righteousness idea. So then the idea that someone is, if they're righteous, they are that of an oak. So then an oak can stand as being a definition of righteousness. That's kind of
It's very much used all the time as a symbol of strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The mighty oak.
Oh, absolutely. So then fog, remember you have the veil of Isis, that there's a famous casting. They always tell you that some guy was hitting with a chisel. Guy's hitting with a chisel and a hammer, and he's scraping out. I'm like, you casted that.
Just remember, they also added into the 42-year-old, which is six.
Well, 42 also the answer to everything.
He was carrying a black ISIS flag in his car. It's so ridiculous. But they had to get ISIS into that whole story. So you got bourbon, oak, ISIS, the veil, everything's all there.
Well, you also have the famous casting, the veil of ISIS, which is ISIS sitting on the stool or the throne with a veil over her head.
Mm.
So then now let's talk about then the veil or the fog. You know, the idea then is you have a bunch of people who are putting out videos that are simply yelling at the fog saying, "What is this? What is this? What in the heck is this? What is this? Who can say, dude, shut up. If you were gonna do something, if the fog was around me, which it's not, but if it was, this is how I'm gonna test it. Now I have the jars ready. I'm gonna take three jars, they're all empty, sterile jars. I'm gonna then capture some of the fog.
Yep.
Then I'm gonna put then I'm gonna just take one by itself. And then I'm going to use one as a gold standard. I'm going to then put water in all three, boom, 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 cap them all. Then I'm going to check with a pH stick, each one. And I'm going to start to do tests out. First, I'm going to check if there's any pH difference. Then I'll put the water under a scope. Then I'm going to see if there's any creepy crawlies in there. You know, these are the type of tests you can do, but just going out into the fog with a flashlight, saying, "What the hell is this?" That's not doing anybody any favors, man.
Well, it's getting the clicks on their, you know, their dopamine levels up on their sites, so they get more people clicking and panicking. Because for every one, you know, one idiot that shares, there's another 10 idiots out there that will be sucked into this, guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. Mm. So I was thinking also within we talked about the Book of Enoch, didn't we?
We did, and that's that goes to the portals, because is there another portal to be open, or is the open?
Well, you can Well, it says on the 5th today. Your day at 7 o'clock local Rome time. They'll open up the last one, and that's to the outside of the wall. That's St. Paul's outside the wall. But check this out. In the first parable, chapter 1 of Book of Enoch, there's, if people are interested in this idea to go further, it's something you'll have to read on your own.
But I highly recommend anyone out there to get themselves a copy of the Book of Enoch.
Yeah, so chapter 1, the first parable, goes into the idea of the Chamber of the Mist. All right? So then I would like to speak a little bit more about kind of the fog and what the fog means. The fog means revenge. That's the idea of the fog movie, was revenge. It was the idea that there was these leopards on a ship, and by a conspiracy, they were caused to crash and sink. And the people then went to get their gold. They got their gold. And of course, they weren't pissed about getting sunk. They're pissed that they took their gold. So then a hundred years later at this little town, they're coming back for their gold. All right.
Yeah.
And the fog is the transfer mechanism that transports them, meaning that they can't get to you unless the fog's there. That's their transportation device. That's their veil. All right. So that's the idea of the door. So, and guess what? There was the big scene was every single time that they show up, they were always knocking on the door. Boom, 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 boom. That's the idea of knocking on the door. That's the idea of Christ knocking on the door. If you answer, then he'll come in. If you refuse to answer, he won't come in. Guess what happens at the end, though? They start busting in. Anyway, because there was an idea that six had to be, the number six had to be accounted for, and the gold, the seventh item. It was six bodies and the gold. That was the seven things that had to be checked off. So they had to take six of the townspeople with them, plus all the gold back before they stopped. So then you see that's the idea of the what you reap, you're going to sow. It's the idea of no matter what, you're going to put it out. It's going to all come back. So then it's also the idea of the rich man and the poor man. The idea of the rich man entering heaven is not going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. Now, it doesn't say that the good man, it says the rich man.
Right? Yeah. It'll be harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Yeah. The reason being is because what are you doing sitting on all that money, Mr. McScrooge Duck? What are you doing? I mean, there's literally people out there that, what are you doing? And you're going to pretend you're going to stand before God and act as if you did. You're going to say, no, God, I was hiding all this for you. What do you think I needed with that? You were holding it for your own comfort, and you were living deliciously while Lazarus was having his feet licked by dogs. And now you're going to ask for even a drop of water on your tongue? No, that gap is not going to be crossed by you. You will simply dissipate.
Like fog.
Yeah, like fog. And guess what happened? The last thing that came back, they came back for the false reverend, the Hal Hellbrook character. Man, I liked him in Capricorn 1.
Great character.
He plays like this guy that you just know is no good. He's like, he's no good. He's a nice looking guy, but he's no good. So he's the weak, drunk priest. So they come back, they get the gold from him, and you think he's okay, but the last thing you see, he turns around and the fog creeps back in and it takes him, because he was that seventh idea that had to go. That was the mind that had to be satisfied, or the ring that had to be unrung for them to go away. Because remember, the whole story starts because they got their gold stolen. Not that they got freaking shipwrecked by what happened was they moved the pyre fire down the beach so that they thought they were supposed to land there, and they ran them into the rocks instead. And because they were the so-called leopards. Lepers. Yeah. Lepers is mentioned, I want to say, 68 times in the Bible. So it's a big idea. And anytime a word's used, if somebody wants to do a word study, just look at the look at the intent of the word, and then look at the different passages where that word's used, and you're going to see what you haven't seen before now that you're looking for it. Things will fall into place for you. You know, the fog will be lifted. The veil will be lifted.
The veil will be lifted.
Yeah, it sure will. You know, so then this idea of the oak is also the black and white idea. Remember, I told you it's the charred white. So that's blackened white oak. And it's also then goes into the idea of within all, whether it be the Wicca, the Norse, Celtic, Bible, all. Even the Bible will talk to, people will take refuge under it. They will hide things under it. Under the oak they sat. Under the oak they waited.
Remember Oak Island.
Where they kept digging up the last guy's, you know, remains of his of his little dugout. Yeah. So the water table is about 10 feet down. They keep digging into the water table and leaving nails.
I watched it. Very frustrating. Yeah. Very frustrating. Well, it kept you interested. You know, if you're stupid, I can say that. But I was interested.
There was an episode. It was in the first season, and when they went down a well. And if you watch, they showed that stupid Mason mark. As soon as you saw that, you knew it was a hoax. They showed you the compass and square and compass down, and it's made sure to show you that. So if you're like a Mason, you're watching, you're like, okay, you walk away because you're like, oh, the rest is BS. Because they're already showing you, don't watch this because this isn't real, guy. They're showing, so it's like they zoomed in on it. You know, it's like it's the tell, and that's why signs and symbols matter. When you see the tell in a movie where they give you the old hand to the chin idea, it's like you know that they're about to feed a line that's not meant for you. It's meant for the mass, the black mass, because all TV, novel, movie, all of that is black mass. It's all just false ideas being spread out into the mass called the public eye, public mind.
Tell lie vision.
And I did want to go back before I forget. go back to the idea of Hanukkah ending on the second, but then mm-hmm. also the idea that on the eighth day, which is this, so it's idea of you have creation at seven, and now you go like a rebel, you go one more. So you go that eighth day. And now on the eighth day, they like to read Maccabees 1 and 2. The idea of, do you know that Macca, I'll get to you what it means, but Paul McCartney's nickname was Macca.
Yeah.
So Maccabees, the idea is the idea of the son of the bees. Now bees, as you know, is a Masonic idea, busy bees, or the idea of bees of the crown. Because the Masonic art is the crown with the bees going around with the honey. So, and honey is money with the you know, if you bend up the end of the M.
H and the M, exactly. Same thing. System of control.
Yeah, so you have the Maccabees. And guess what they were talking about within Maccabees 1 and 2? They're talking about rebellion. They're talking about being a pain in the ass. They're talking about causing trouble and contention. That's what they're celebrating, because it's past they think that God isn't watching because it's the eighth day. He's resting on the seventh. So they're like, okay, well, let's talk about all this stuff now. So then here's the thought you have. The idea of the oak is it's going to be black or white. It's going to be the idea of protection, to be or not to be, to be with Christ or to not to be.
Be, not to be, yeah.
To be with the Antichrist and not to be with Christ. Those are your choices. You can't do both. So the be, so to be or not to be. If you now when you say it out loud, it makes sense when you're not, you know, casting it with the veil of Shakespeare. It doesn't make any sense if you just quote Shakespeare. But now if you think about it, to be, which is the idea of Christ, or not to be, which is the idea of the Antichrist. So now your choice is one or the other, the truth or the fiction. Because if you remember the idea of Poe, that his poem, his famous poem, which isn't all
the Raven,
the dream within a dream.
Okay, no. Yeah.
But at the end it says is but a dream within a dream. But at the if you read the first part, it's quite pedestrian. It's take this kiss upon the bow or brow, the idea of the forehead, and in parting from you now, you know that's that just, it rhymes, but it's and then he goes on and he says, thus much let me avow, you are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. So he's talking about the idea of this same idea, meaning that you're living in a dream because it existed on a dream, meaning a story that never was true in the first place, and you never tested it to be true. So that's the idea of a dream within a dream idea. I always found that stuff was a bit overrated.
Very interesting character. Yeah. Very interesting character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting character, and did some great stuff. Not my cup of tea really, but very successful back in his day. Well, he certainly became successful.
Oh, hey, there was also another hoax very recent with Luigi.
Yes.
You know, I did a video on that on the YouTube, and I was thinking that this is that Revenge of the Nerds was a prophetic movie.
Because I was bringing this up with my son the other day, actually, because we were talking about, because he mentioned, he's onto it now. He said to me, uh-huh. Luigi, the guy's name was Mangione or whatever, Mangione.
Yeah, Luigi Mangione. Right.
Well, there's a game out there called Luigi's Mansions, you know, so Luigi's Mansion is a game, you know, one of the games that they've played for many years, and he has a ghost gun, and he had a ghost gun. It was a 3D printed gun. They call them ghost guns. So
that's the idea of that's the idea of the mist, Rick. You got it right, because the Celtic god of mist idea, the mist, the fog, is called Luge, like L-U-G-H, like Luigi.
There you go.
The beginning of Luigi. And it's also the idea of artistry and talents. 3D gun making. Come on. So elusive. because he was on the lamb. So the Celtic god called Lugh, L-U-G-H, the first part of Luigi, the same sound, is known to be elusive, is known for his artistry, and is known for talents. And it's he's the god of the mist, or the idea of the fog.
Good tie-in, dude.
Yeah. So, before, remember, you might have heard before that I like to mention 7 when it shows up.
But, why not?
But just keep in mind that the 7th, Genesis 7 is, in fact, where the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark with your whole household. That's the announcement, the 7.
Yep.
So if you know the code, with the idea, you just look at what's presented to you and then just lay it out. If they offer you a story, whether it be this story in Las Vegas at the Trump Tower, or in New Orleans on Bourbon Street or Way, it's Bourbon Street, and that and a street is the idea of a way, the way, the truth, the light. What light then are you walking towards? The dark light, or the light? Because remember that the light, or the idea of light, is the idea of that you don't put your candle under a bushel. You don't hide your candle. If you have the light, you shine it so that others can see it. You know, you can't, the city on the hill analogy. So you don't hide. If you're a city on the hill, you're not hiding.
And that ties in with the fog, isn't it? When they shone, they had the false light, the false light on the beach.
Absolutely, yeah. And the idea with the movie The Fog. Remember, the last place that was had no fog was at the church. However, what and why was there no? Because remember, bourbon ties in with oak, ties in with light, which can be light or dark, and it ties in with protection directly is of the oak. So to be or not to be, why was that church, although it seemed to be safe, why wasn't it safe? Because the corruption, the reverend, was corrupt.
Interesting, yeah.
So he was a false Christ, therefore there was no protection, therefore the place...
Very Catholic churches.
Yeah. Most of these movies are going to be Catholic because most of these people go to Catholic universities. Most universities are Catholic driven from the beginning. It doesn't really matter if they're one of these other side shoots, but most universities, most ideas of learning is a Catholic. What's the concept, best word to say? Well, a concept. Yeah. It's what they offer to society, and what they do is the goy or the men, they'll get the best and the brightest out, which is why in school they test you a lot. All through school, they give you these standardized testing. It has nothing to do with where you're at. They just want to know what you're proficient at. And it's the same thing that happens in the Navy. I was very proficient when I went to do. I went in the Navy at 17, and they give you this test. You go in a room and you get a timed test and you do it and you get it graded. I was horrendous on the English. I was horrendous on grammar. Those things, horrendous, terrible. But on the mathematics, the mechanics, theoretical, you know, if this is that and this is that, what would this be theoretically type questions? I excelled on. That's why I got these are what's available.
We'll put you in the right box.
Yeah. So then they put you in the right box, and because then they're not wasting their time. They don't waste their time. So everything's figured out, man. It's all figured out. So then that is the idea of education. But remember, we talked about all these different characters and where they went to school, and all these schools are quite, they can all be tied back to the idea of the Catholics, even if it's tied into, splinter groups like Jesuits and all those.
I've gone through and, you know, every time I look up someone's Wikipedia and I look at their college, and then I'll go, you know, flick through to that and look at the other alma mater that went to that college, and it just ties in. It's a big organization of select people. It all went to, you know, the certain colleges to move certain things. And we were talking about the director of, what's his name? They all went to that.
What director are you talking about?
Oh, the one of a show. Oh, look, it's too hard to remember. One
it doesn't
of the shows
matter, but go ahead. Yeah, just go ahead to the end.
Yeah, also he'd been, he was part of the same kind of collective, you know, and that moves the same kind of agenda. So, yeah, it all fits in very, when you look at it. Once you know these things, you can trace back and see where they got their ideas from and who was pushing their ideas to them.
Right. So, well, there's also, I don't want to give short shrift to the Tesla bomb hoax. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about the character was named Matthew. Now, that's the tax collector. That's the idea of one who was someone who used to take money from his neighbor. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the last name is Liveler. Livesber. It sounds like a goofball name. Until you look at the anagrams.
I was going to say, what's the anagram of that one?
You have a couple that are quite interesting to me. One, you have embellisher. Someone
right.
who makes, you have, I'm going to, the second and then the third one's the most interesting. The second one is bellwethers. That's a bellwether. Bellwether is the idea of a test. To see the level.
Oh, well.
All right, a bellwether. All right, so it's the idea. It's the idea of a specific test point to test the level of the so-called population. So that, consider that a bellwether. The reaction to that will then be used to adjust the next. Harvest time is the third one I found interesting in there. Harvest time, what you reap, you sow. Oh, remember about the idea of harvest in the idea of spring. So this is it's a quick cycle. It's a quick cycle from now to then. But this is the idea of from the cross to the rise, extended in months.
From the 21st of December, and you get the sun hangs in the sky for 3 days or whatever the. Is it the summer solstice?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
Or winter. You and for me, summer solstice. Winter solstice for you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I forgot where I was going with this one, but something you just said sparked my interest in the.
Well, what's interesting about that?
It's the start of a new cycle. So the harvest starts a new cycle. Yeah. Right. Gotcha. That's what.
Correct. And also remember the idea of 19. The idea of 19 is the idea of the metonic cycle. Nine plus one is 10, or the idea of input output. You got all that. But remember, if you flip the 19, you get the idea. If you just flip the 9 to the 6, you can see the 16 or the 7 idea. I found that interesting because I followed that backwards to Matthew 27:25, which is 9:7, 16:7. And that is the let the blood idea. So all the people answered. His blood is on us and on our. Right? So that is the idea of the generational curse, or those men who don't take the time to get out of the actual hoax or lie system here, and then help escort their family out, become Noah, or they then cast the blood from their hands, their spiritual murder, onto their children. That is what that's talking about. And that is a seven. That's a seven idea. It reduces the seven because when you look at these ideas, there's certain mind rings, because remember, a seven looks like a little gong. If you grabbed it by the handle, you could ring a bell with it. Do you kind of see that in your mind?
Yeah.
If you grab a seven, like a little bell ringer. So these are the and then of course the idea of bell is the idea of mind, and what happens if you're confused, you're not quite sure, you can't quite see, your mind's foggy,
brain fog.
It might be brain fog. The idea of vision might be misty. What happens if you're very emotional, your vision becomes misty eyed. Right. So then that is the idea, the veil between your eyesight and the physical manifestation called the world. That veil is the mist spoken about with misty eyes. And how was that veil brought about? But by emotion. right?
Yep. Fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking too about the before about the cycle you were talking about, the solstice cycle. But you also have the cycle of the judgment cycle. Now, if remember, we were talking about the Noah cycle, and you have with the Noah cycle, you have two things: you have water, and you have air. So let's say you have a fishbowl. And that represents the universe, the shape of the human eye. And let's say that the if you think about that, if the highest mountain is covered, the only thing that you have access to is you have the top of the water and the air above. So that's water and air. That leaves only two things, or idea, the four elements. That's earth and fire. And now you'll notice that if you go to Revelation, the idea of the of coming judgment, it is by fire. And that's also through the book of Enoch, is that the final judgment is by fire. So then all of this is the idea that, so you're going to be seeing stories and representations, not only of like physical fire, but fire from mouths, free response, you know.
There is lots of stories of fire in the media at the moment, with various areas burning, so which is no surprise at this time of year. But I noticed there's even New York burning around New York last month. They were getting massive fires. Yeah.
So expect that idea, though, Rick. Expect the idea of fires, because what they'll do is they do it a lot out here in Arizona. They do what's called controlled burning. They wouldn't tell you for the longest time, but they get caught too many times starting them. So now they announce when they're going to burn them. And they burn areas that quite literally would not burn for the next 1,000 years if they didn't burn it. It just simply wouldn't. But they do it anyway, and what they do is they create these almost wastelands. It's in the desert, and that's here's where ideas come in. These people think they're doing the right thing, but they're given the ideas by the spirits of the so-called giants. Remember, from we were talking about the Book of Enoch, and the Book of Enoch plainly states that the bodies of the giants before the flood went into uncorruption, meaning that they were never to be judged, that they were uncreated. However, the spirit of the giant, they remained. And guess what can exist if Noah's in his ark, and you have water and you have air? Guess what's existing in the air? But the spirit of the air is still up there. It never went anywhere. So as soon as man starts going back out, guess who's right there to cause trouble?
Oh, yeah.
The spirits. And guess what the Book of Enoch says that they will do? It says that that's what they will do. They will cause contention. They will cause lies to be spread. They will cause men to bicker about each other. And they will also tell mankind how to create things and make things on their timeline.
Which is why
on their timeline. Which is why you have this an increase. That's why you can live a certain way quite peaceably without any increase in technology. Like you could live in 1980, for example, you'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
You could pick a year and you could be. I'll be fine right there. I'll just keep it there. So that's not the issue. But then the idea of technology moving forward is simply the idea of those who have been trained for the next step, i.e. the Indians, those who have already been put through college and have been
very well educated.
Yeah. They're brought over and put into these positions because the local population has run its, they've already, it's like, thanks guy. It's like, what do you mean?
It's like, you're finished.
We don't need you. Go ahead now, clean out your locker, bud.
It's like, that's happening.
It's like, what do you mean? It's like, are you still here? Do I need to call security? Are we going to have an issue? You know,
here's your box. Pack your stuff. Get out.
It's like just go, man. Don't even make a noise. Go. So, and as long as you know that, you're good. You kind of see, it's like being, if you're in the play, know your role. It makes it easier. I was once in a play. It was The Nutcracker.
well done.
Oh, I played a mushroom. And I waddled out at the beginning, and I sat in the left-hand corner, and I sat there squatted. And I'm thinking to myself, couldn't you have just put the mushroom out here? Because I didn't say anything. I didn't move. And then I waddled out at the end. That was my part.
Well, you know, as long as you played it well.
I was like, I don't even think people can see me. I'm looking out the little screen of the hole. You know, I could see the audience. I just sat there and I was squirming around. I was like, man, but you have to crouch. So my knees were getting all buckled. I was like, oh. Yeah, so I played a great mushroom. And then I was once in a local play. Back then they used to do like Christmas stories. So I was one of the three wise men. And I gave...
Fantastic. Well done.
I gave myrrh. And I kind of bogarted the stage a little bit because I was just supposed to walk up and say, I offer myrrh, and I set it down. I turn to the audience and I say, I offer myrrh, and then turn back. And so I went a little bit overboard with that one.
I think your personality was erupting early back in the day. You couldn't hold you back.
Yeah. I did tell you about the time I was kicked out of music, right? Tell you about that?
Maybe not.
Because I know about, you know, tones, tunes, all that good stuff, and my sisters, three redheads, all played instruments. Great, awesome. So Mr. Left, who was the conductor of the orchestra at school, because, you know, in California, at least the schools I went to, all the arts were there. You know, anything you wanted, music, blah blah blah, everything. So I decided I'm going to play the trumpet, right? So then he lets me into the band because my oldest sister and my all three of my sisters could play, but the two ahead of me were just phenomenal. So he's like, hey, this kid's probably, you know, even great. You know, he's even better. He's a guy, right? That's what back in those days. So I get in there and I'm blowing on this thing. I make it all the way through the, and this was at the time, the Christmas concert. I make it all the way through the Christmas concert without this guy catching on that I couldn't play a lick. Now that's 3 months into the year already. So I know hoaxes. So then he was figuring something out. He's like, hey, you know what we're going to do? Everybody's going to play solo to figure out first chair. You know, because in your band, the best player gets first chair, and then you're sequentially after that. And he says, everybody start playing, so we start playing this piece. And then he's like, everybody, and then as soon as he put his hand over you, you had to play a solo. Man, I was like, bah, bah, beep, bah. And he's like, and you know what he says to me? He says, Johnson, get up here. He says, you have a choice. He says, you go to ceramics tomorrow morning, or you get an F. So the next day, I'm making a mug. The next day, I'm making the beautiful mug, which is still in the Philippines, by the way. That very same mug I made, which is cowboy. It's a cowboy where you hold the handle, and the front I made, you know, with a garlic press. I made his mustache. And with the lips, you kind of put all the parts. It was almost like a Mr. Potato Head mug. And then the lid is a cowboy hat.
Fantastic.
Fully glazed, kiln, because we had a kiln and everything at the school.
Oh, yeah, was fantastic if you were a bit creative and you had a bit of talent.
Yeah, and so we fired it. It's fully usable. It's in the Philippines right now. It's a few other my creations from that from that time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. How'd we do?
Well, I think you've done fantastic. It's another one. A lot of interesting stuff. Woven into the mist of time. Woven into the mists of time. But no, it was really good, Dave. As usual, they always get better each episode, I have to say. More interesting things. But, I mean, particularly the mists and the... the fog.
Right.
And the fact that they're using these things right now on the media.
It goes back, remember, it goes back to the ripping of the veil idea.
That's right.
The tearing the veil, the earthquake, the tearing of the veil, the idea that the truth has been set free from the world, from the earthly bounds, right? So it's the idea of it is a graduation idea as well, right?
Yeah.
So graduation is going to be interesting. Hey, but you know, with the fog, I like the one we were talking about, the 80 version was good. But the thing I didn't like about the mist so much, which is kind of the Stephen King adaptation from his book, is that it takes place in the claustrophobia is too much. It takes place in a store. So it's like they're all trapped in a store. And it's like, the claustrophobia is too much, man. That's why if you're gonna watch one of the movies, The Fog, it has some street scenes. It's a bit more open. So if you're
I liked it. I remember seeing that when it first came out. 79, 80?
1980. 80, yeah. 80. It came out in February 1st, 1980. And also it was the area you liked, you know where you would like them, Rick? It's called Marin County. It's up there north of San Francisco. Because San Francisco is not, some people will call it Northern California. It's not. It's Middle California. It's Central California. Northern California is a different state entirely than what you see on the TV. It's what you see in the fog. That's what Northern California looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful coastal town.
Oh, that's what it looks like up there. So and it still looks like that up there. So it's one of those places that at some point it will be gotten to. But so San Francisco and Los Angeles, San Diego, those are all individual places in California. But and Central Valley, Sacramento, they're all different environments completely. Totally. Northern California is really like cowboys still.
Really?
Yeah. Just like Arizona out here is cowboys, Colorado's cowboys, Texas is not there's a bunch of drugstore cowboys.
Drugstore cowboys, yeah, I was gonna, up I was in Texas. Say,
yeah, a bunch of drugstore fake cowboys up there. Up in Texas. They're just up there for me. I'm in Arizona, but them fakers are just up. I see them driving around in their fancy cars with their fancy plates.
And how's the weather where you are at the moment? So what kind of weather do you get?
Perfect.
Perfect weather.
You can work all day outside right now. All day without getting hot or cold. Just perfect. So there's two times a year, of course, where this happens generally. And so that works out for a few weeks a year. And then it's going to start to get quite cold here. In fact, it'll snow from time to time because I'm up above 3,000 feet. So we'll get a couple days of snow here in the next month. But it goes away the same day. So it's nice to walk in when it comes down. It's usually very cold. And what's nice about in the desert is you can see so far. So when the clouds are coming in, you can tell, Rick, if it's going to be a very cold snowstorm because the cloud looks to be like a marble blue green underneath as it's coming at you.
Yeah, as soon as you see green in clouds, you know, there's to me, I see that we don't get snow here, obviously, but we'll get hail and the clouds will go green underneath and look out. Look out. Yeah, that's what I say.
So but here with the amount of view I see, I can see storms going by me, but they never come to me. But I can see past them as well.
Fascinating.
So I can see all the way around them. A couple times, there's clouds going by and it's raining or it's doing all kinds of lightning, but I can see all the way behind it and front, back, and on my side of it because I'm on top of this hill looking into a valley, and a lot of the weather happens below me. So. Quite interesting.
Whereabouts is Death Valley in America?
Oh, that's over in California.
In California, where it gets extremely hot, apparently.
It gets up there, but there's there's nothing out there to go to. I mean, they have people who will put up pictures of them at 116 Fahrenheit, things like that. But it gets out to 116 out here. It got here 116 this past summer here where I'm at. So I've been through a few of those days. Man, those are tough days right there. What you do, and here's what everybody does, just so you kind of know, it's where the siesta comes from. That's why a lot of these cultures that have hot weather have the afternoon siesta or nap, is where you you get up early, because it's going to be during the time where it's, you know, 4 something in the morning, it's light already. Get up, do your work, finish by 10:30, 11. You take the whole afternoon off, really, and you get back at it around once the sun kind of moves out of the way, once it starts to go across the plain that direction, it starts to cool down quite quickly.
Yeah. Right?
And then you work in the afternoon, even if it's still hot, even if it kind of has that kind of Indian summer hot, well, you still don't have it beating on top of your head. So you still get the same amount of work done. Just you're not doing it in the hot part of the day. So it's just you have to know your environment. You have to work within your environment.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, do you want to talk about, did you smoke anything interesting over the Christmas period before we hang up the hats and
go off? Yeah, I did. I had a couple.
Do tell.
Yeah, I had this nice little garlic sourdough indica.
Garlic
indica. Sourdough indica, yeah.
How's that sound? Sounds like a nice bread.
But it's it's a bud, Well, bread, you know they have lamb's bread, which is a Jamaican strain. It's called lamb's bread.
Well.
Yeah. Hold on, let me. This actually has a kind of a similar smell to it. Very, very nice. It's actually a quite a bright bud in that its red hairs are bright. The greens are more subdued, so it's one of those kind of calico-looking buds, if that makes sense. And then I have another bud, which is a hybrid. It's called Crimson Cloud. Crimson Cloud, yeah. This is more of kind of an OG Kush in a way. Yeah, it's like an OG Kush with some perps. It's got a nice little perps smell to it. Yeah, so it's a darker bud, definitely darker bud. It still has kind of the same similar bud structure though, which I call which are points. Kind of some buds, especially Kushes, will have kind of more round points. Other buds will have kind of.
Is there a limit to amount of strains that they can create, or is this going to be an unlimited variety for the?
They call these. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I thought every time I look into it or speak to someone, they talk about something new that they've taken and or bought or smoked, and I think how many different strains are there out there? But they just are they rebranding them, or are they actually just tricking them up? And
it's like children in a way. I mean, it's like children in a way. It depends on if you have a mother and you're vegging the mother. Now, vegging means that you're putting the plant under at least 18 hours of light so that it doesn't flower. And you're taking clones from that mother. As long as the clones are from that mother, those strains will be the same. But if it gets crossed at some point, it's going to be different. It's just like children.
Everyone's an individual. It's an individual. Yeah. Okay, got you.
Yes. Yeah. But here's the thing that kind of the question you're asking is there really is no limit, because although what I smelled kind of similar smells to OG Kush, it kind of also has a little bit different smell as well. So, like, to the trained sniffer, the guy's going to say, no, that's Crimson Sky. But I was like, okay, well, back when I was doing it, it was called this. And so, but it's actually not exactly the same, because there is that little bit of difference each time. And so, like, I can't find my favorite, which is Super Silver Haze. I can find it still. I can find what's called Super Silver Haze, but in order for me to find the one I really first tasted, I would have to find somebody who still has that mother. You know? Otherwise, and there are a few people who are running mothers, and they run seed shops to where that's as close as you're going to get to the same thing. So, like, Kim Dog, Kim Dog, there's still some, well, you can get some Kim Dog, which I would say is actually what
Kim Dog.
Kim Dog. It's a strain. It's a cushy strain. It's very potent. It has a real pungent smell, but it just leaves you nice and easy level. It's an OG strain. I mean, so right. it's going to be in a lot of movie references. We'll just put it that way. However, so some will still have those mothers, or at least what they claim are those mothers. However, a lot of this stuff now that you'll find is quite homogenized. I think that's the best word to use, is it's quite homogenized.
I've just never seen so many different, I look at some of the online things, all the different things. It's just incredible. And just by the names that they've named them all. But beers are the same now. I go into a bottle shop or a liquor shop, what we call a liquor shop there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a candy store now with different hops and IPAs and colors and names and, they all, brown and fizzy at the end, but some taste better than others. So there's a there.
Yeah, I used to make pale ales, and I did a chocolate beer as well. I made a chocolate beer during the winter season.
You mentioned that sounded fascinating.
So it's really just kind of what's your taste buds. Like a lot of people don't like that IPA just because of that oily kind of tongue bite. That it bites your tongue, but and some people like it. It's tomato.
Why not?
I guess.
Why not? Well, I think that's a wrap of episode 21. And what a great show!
Thank you.
Excellent.
So I'm going to kick the bottom.
And you want to play? You want to kick the bottom? You're going to play a song by Queensryche.
Right. And it's going to introduce several of the ideas we talked about. If you listen, I'm sorry. Have you heard it before?
Probably. I listened to it the other day, and I was kind of trying to work it out because I certainly remember Queensryche around the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I was into them, so I've probably heard it.
It's just Wind from the South. The idea we talked about earlier when it was in the anagram, all that's in there. It's simply because Rick, there's only so much you can talk about. There's only so much. It's just different ways of saying the same thing. That's why all these different movies and books and TV shows all generally will have the same story arc, with just the character names being different and the way and how they get there different. It's like the Flintstones. It's like the Flintstones is the Jetsons, just with a different vehicle.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So
and a robot dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh no, they had a dog. It was a dog.
Yeah, the Flintstones had the dinosaur, and they had the bird, and then they had a couple other ones, and then the Jetsons had the dog.
Astro.
Yeah, Astro. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, let me kick him out. All right, cheers, everybody.
Dave, an audience out there, fantastic. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week on next Sunday. And God knows what we'll be talking about. It'll be something interesting, though. Guaranteed.
Yeah, that'll be your 12th, my
11th. My 12th. Okay, fantastic. I'll think of this. There's something I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
It'll come to me. All right, fantastic, Dave.
Leave comments in the comments section.
Yeah, do so. And Queensryche, one of the great hard rock acts out of America in the mid-80s.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks, Dave.
There's not much.